and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on points and Anna Knox.
Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And that rustling you hear in the background is not my usual co-host. Anna Knox, as we announced, is off this weekend. She is on a road trip. So hopefully she, Ian, and the kids have their seatbelts on right now. With me this week is a very special fill-in, famed in song and story, and some of you out there may be the beneficiaries of her embroidery work. She is my beautiful, wonderful wife, Jenny, known to you all as Mrs. Blue Liner.
Hi, guys.
So she has consented to fill in as my co-host this week since nobody else wanted to.
And he promised he would be nice to me tonight.
I will try my best. I'm nice all the time.
All right, well, I guess that's good enough.
I'm nice all the time. What are you talking about?
You have your moments.
Well, Anna never complains. Well,
I'm sure she does.
Not to me, anyway.
I'm sure she does.
All right. Hopefully you can bear with us while we muddle through here. It's going to be kind of an abbreviated show. Of course, still not much happening in Caps hockey world. But just a few things we wanted to put out there and one very important event, at least in our inner circle, that we're going to get to here real soon. But this, as we're recording it, it is May the 17th. 6:30 in the evening in the DMV, and hopefully you got your earbuds in or speakers or however the hell you're listening to us out there in the state of Maryland, District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, and beyond, of course, over the waters. Special shout out to our UK friends, especially Mr. Grant Green. Thank you very much, sir, for hosting a very kick-ass video chat session that featured a lot of great Caps fans. pardon me. Especially Kathy Katz and Coach Osh, two names near and dear to all our hearts. Thank you very much, guys, for appearing. And of course, Anna and I had the pleasure of being on that video chat as well. You go to the Caps fans page. I think Grant has it posted there, or you can ask Grant himself. If you're interested in a copy, or well, see what he can do. I don't know about a copy, but and of course, a week before that, last Sunday, we had our own video podcast, as much as we could do of it. My webcam situation wasn't exactly the best, given that I was on a borrowed laptop. My handsome face was not gracing the covers, but. We did, of course, have Anna and Fee McKinnon, also from Scotland. Grant was on there also, but though he couldn't do video because Uber Conference does not do video feeds from mobile devices, unfortunately. Stu Small was there. Josh Kirby from the Josh Kirby on Sports podcast. Lisa Desabre, Rochelle Wilcox dropped in for a while. I know I'm leaving probably one or two people out, but that's who all was on there for the most part. So thank you all guys for showing up and chatting with us and, spending time, letting us know how you are during this, phase one, we're breaking out of the quarantine. I don't know, kind of mixed feelings about that. Jenny, I was telling you, so on that errand going to Walmart, and saw a bunch of people running around without masks. I don't know. Are they still making you guys wear masks in your restaurant?
Yeah, Wendy's actually enacted that regardless of what state you're in, you have to wear a mask now. It's to help boost confidence that it's safe to come out. So definitely still wearing the mask. Still making masks, because after a while you get tired of wearing the same one. So I have a stack of fabric I'm going through making different masks, different patterns and stuff, just to have something different to try and keep it interesting, because wearing the same old mask all the time, it's going to get monotonous. So trying to brighten my customers' day, even if it's something silly as a mask.
Well, speaking of masks, we'll get much more into that later. As I mentioned, some of you listening out there, well, a lot of you listening out there, probably the beneficiaries of my wonderful wife's handiwork. We'll talk more about that towards the end of the show. But as I mentioned, it is May 17th. Two very significant historical events I wanted to mention here. Of course, the 1954 Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Ed. I think we should all know what that's all about. Of course, outlawing of racial segregation in public schools. But sports related, I did not know this, but in 1939 on this date was the first ever televised sports broadcast, and it was a collegiate baseball game in New York City versus the Columbia University Lions and the Princeton University Tigers.
Hang on a second. You said televised. Was it an air over the radio?
No.
In 1939?
No, it says televised.
In 1939?
Yeah, television was actually invented in the 30s.
Okay, well, not very many people saw it then, did they?
No, probably not, but it was live and it was televised.
Oh, okay. Learn something new every day.
Yep, absolutely. Especially on this podcast, which is probably why nobody listens, but
people listen.
Yeah, well. Anyway, again, wanted to thank Grant for just want to get that out there. Wanted to thank Grant for inviting Anna and I on that video chat. Met a lot of great people. I kind of kept quiet. I was more interested in listening for once. I do, you wouldn't know it, but I do a lot of talking in both my job and this show. So for
gee, really?
Yeah. Yeah. For once I wanted to sit back and listen and find out about, other Caps fans who I hadn't met and had the pleasure of meeting that evening. So, Great. Just wanted to mention that again, because I had an awesome time. I wish I could have stayed longer, because my phone was doing some kind of strange things and couldn't stay on. But I just wanted to put that out there, that I had an awesome time, and I think Anna did too, not to speak for her. Okay, so that out of the way, I've been thinking a lot about the Caps. Well, there's that, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to it, but there was, I think the Puck podcast put it out. I forget who put it out, but there was that question on Twitter about name your team's greatest moment, and no, winning the Stanley Cup doesn't count. Well, guess what? For us, it's going to have to count, because we only have one. Not that I'm ashamed of just one, but that is the greatest moment. So I've been thinking a lot about that the last couple days, and how it was that the team got there and how we did get there. And Jenny, you can chime in. I mean, I don't know how much of the series, I can't remember how much of the series you actually got to watch with me, but,
I wasn't watching at home, I was watching at work. I saw.
How were you watching at work?
We have TVs.
They let you watch TV at work?
What they don't know won't hurt them.
Okay. Anyway, so building a championship team, basically you need, at least in the 2000 or so hockey games I've watched in my lifetime, I've noticed that you need three main elements when it comes to playing for the Stanley Cup, because it is pardon me, it's ever since 1987, I think it is, it has been four series of best of seven games. That means you have to win 16 games, and that means you can play upwards of anywhere from 16 to 28 games beyond your normal 82 game schedule. Well, and that
in
can
a
be,
good year.
In a good year, right, exactly. And that can be a grind. So, but I found in my experience in watching all these games, you need three essential elements. I'm going to go over what the Caps had as far as these elements go. First thing you need is leadership, because there will be downtimes, as we saw in the year 2018. Caps actually fell into an 0-2 hole against their first round opponent, the Blue Jackets. You need leadership to get you through those tough times, to rally the troops and figure out, okay, how are we going to get out of this? And you needed to look no further than the captain and his two alternates. So that being Alexander Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom and, of course, Brooks Orpik. And so I think not much of this ever gets talked about, I think, but between those three, I think they showed a lot of leadership qualities to get the team first out of that 0-2 hole. And then later on, people forget that the third round series, the Eastern Conference Final, Caps were on the brink of being eliminated there too, against the Lightning. And they had to win game six to force a game seven. It took a lot to get them out of that. And also, you have to remember, against the Penguins, they actually had to dress five rookies in the sixth and deciding game in that series. Okay. Who are your rookies going to take your cue from? Well, the leadership, obviously. So guys like Orpik and Ovechkin, you know, they have to step up and show the way. Of course, Backstrom was hurt for most of that series. But, you know, it kind of goes without saying. You know, there were, again, tough times during the playoffs. They show up. Your leaders are going to get you through. Coach can't do it for you. They can only remind you what you need to do. When it comes to being on the ice, your leaders have to show the way. And again, I don't think it's stated enough as far as the leadership that was on the ice as far as the Washington Capitals were that year. And it wasn't just those three. It was other guys like TJ Oshie, who I'm going to talk about here in a second, and Lars Eller. That blends right into the next bit of the next element that you need, which is grit. You need toughness. I just mentioned it's a 16 to 28 grind on top of 82 games. You're going to end up playing upwards of 100 games. That wears on you. You need toughness, not just physical toughness, but mental toughness as well. You need somebody that's going to be able to weather the storm and even push back. So guys like TJ Oshie, guys like Lars Eller, you know, guys like that can produce and also wear the team down, guys like a Tom Wilson as well. So, and I'm sure if Anna were here right now, she would expound on the virtues of a Tom Wilson.
Yeah, I'm sure she would.
But she's not. But yeah, that's another essential element that you need to win the Stanley Cup, to get through the grind of the playoffs that they showed a lot of. And the final element, I think, now you're going to say, well, it's offense. No, it's not offense. You don't always need offense. Yes, I know. Go win the game. But defense wins championships. And you have to have total team defense. And what I mean by that, and I'm really kicking myself here for having to mention this again, but it was none other than Pierre McGuire who pointed it out that the Caps had a superior checking game at both ends of the ice through all five of the final series games against Vegas. And the bottom two lines really showed up as far as that went. That's the Connolly-Eller line and the DSP-Chandler-Stevenson line, those two lines. Those guys really hounded the opposition when they had the puck, and they managed to keep the puck and do wonderful, timely things with it on offense. So it's a cliche, but yes, defense does win championships, and you got to give your unsung heroes a chance to shine in that way, albeit quietly. Now, of course, DSP scoring his three goals in the final series didn't exactly hurt. Gotta say, but he was just as good away from the puck. I think he only had one gaffe that led to a goal, and he was kicking himself for that. I remember that one. But I don't think it was really, now that I remember, I don't think it was really all his fault. It wasn't really a turnover. It was more like a shot that went awry, if I remember right. But so it really wasn't his fault. But I think he had an excellent series, of course. Chandler Stevenson had an excellent series. And you got to have your fourth liners really come through. They can't just be there. They can't just show up. They have to come through at both ends of the ice. And they had that. So now the reason I mentioned that part especially, or well, this whole thing, but that part especially, of course, last week we had the whole thing with Brendan Leipzig. Well, I mentioned it then. I'm going to say it again. There's a reason why Brendan Leipzig has been on four different teams in 5 years. Or I think it's might even be five different teams in 4 years. I don't know. I don't really care at this point. But the fact is, he showed himself to not be a team guy. And that wasn't the case in 2018. You had 20 plus guys sticking together no matter what. And ultimately, I have to agree that all the stuff he was saying were horrible, horrible things. But ultimately, I think Caps management had to pull the plug on his contract because, you know, he wasn't going to help the team. You're not going to help the team. You shouldn't be there. Jenny, did you have something to say about?
This was before you segued it into the Leipzig thing, but you also have to have chemistry. I mean, you can take Alex Ovechkin and his leadership and put him on any other team, and that's not necessarily going to make that team a winning team. You have to have the chemistry between the players as well, and in some cases, that might be more important than some of these other aspects. If the team doesn't play well together, then they're not going to be successful. And if they don't have that chemistry, which I guess does tie into the Leipzig issue, that if you don't have that chemistry, you're not going to be successful.
Very true. Very true. I'm not going to say that chemistry is overrated. But I would not say it's an essential element. And the reason I say that is because I don't think if chemistry were such a valued commodity, for playoff time, then you would not have all of these deals that take place at the deadline. Although you could make another flip side to that argument in that the reason there are so many deals half the time is a lot of teams have...
they don't have the chemistry and it's not working, so they're moving players around to try and find something that works.
And that's why she's my better half, because that's pretty much what I was about to say.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I mean, you can have great leadership, but if you've got issues in the locker room where the team's not getting along, then that's going to show on the ice.
Very true. Very true. But I think, like I said, I think leadership is more valued come playoff time because, you know, you're going to get discouraged. Things are going to look grim. You know, you're going to fall into 3-1, 2-0 holes, and the coach can only do so much, you know, with X's and O's. Ultimately, you have to get it done on the ice. Now, great leadership, to take the point further, can foster a team with better chemistry, can kind of force the team to kind of bond together in the crucible that is, you know, a tough time. You know, you're down 2-0 or whatever. So that's why I value it a little bit more over chemistry itself, because either you can force it at least for the short term that is the playoffs. But if you have no leadership on the ice, then ultimately you're going to go nowhere. If it's 26 guys with no leader, then they can have great chemistry, but if they have no direction, they're not.
If really... they have great chemistry, somebody will come up and step up as the leader. The leadership will then take care of itself if there is that chemistry on and off the ice.
Okay, I don't know if I agree with that 100%. You either have leadership that is there all along, or steps up just before, you know, it's needed, not as it's needed. But yeah, it's a fair point.
Okay, you can continue.
Thank you. Okay, so though to me, those are the three key elements if you want to build a successful hockey team. Now, I know some of you out there are probably screaming and saying, no, you got to have a hot goalie. No, you got to have timely scoring. You got to have somebody on a hot streak scoring-wise. You got to stay healthy. You got to have this. You got to have, you know, those kind of things come and go. I'm talking about stuff that is there permanently, is either you've got it going in or you don't. And that's why I don't want to disqualify chemistry, but that kind of a thing, chemistry can ebb and flow. I'm talking about stuff that you've got in your back pocket already going into the playoffs. And if you don't have it, then, you know, it can come out of nowhere, but it can also go away into nowhere. Also, like a hot goalie, like a scoring streak, things like that. So mainly I'm talking about stuff that's already, you know, what already makes the team, you know, going into the playoffs. Not saying that, you know, your goaltending has to be good or, you know, the chemistry can't be there. Those are important too. I'm just talking about stuff that you already have as you're going into the playoffs. And the Caps had it in spades.
Yeah, and they also had chemistry in spades.
Oh, we could debate this all night long, but we don't have all night long. We have the night for other things.
Okay.
Not so much as a... Any other time, I'd get some sort of smart-ass remark out of you.
Well, I made you be nice to me, so I'll be nice to you.
All right, I will try my best to extend that courtesy.
I appreciate it.
All right, so I mentioned those elements, what it takes to what you need to have to have the elements of a championship team, largely because of the whole Leipzig thing. Now, and I looking back, I kind of don't understand why they even got him now, you know, because it just seems like know, if that's how he was, you know, I kind of wonder if they even vetted him at all. If that's you know, how he was all along, if that's what his personality has been. I mean, you call your teammates losers because they have a podcast. You call your teammates' girlfriends fat. No.
Well, it's possible it could be the same kind of situation I have to deal with at work. We're not allowed to give a bad reference. We say, yes, they came to work, or yes, they work here. It may be that kind of situation, and it just was kept under wraps, or he wasn't as he was better at hiding it previously.
No, good point. But you know, as good as he might have been at hiding it, I mean, I the flip side of that coin is, I mean, the stuff that came out about Bill Peters and his racism, I mean, eventually that comes out. I guess this was that time for Leipzig, but I don't know. I would have thought someone somewhere, you know, would have been able to dig that up. But one last story I wanted to mention, of course, we're kind of teetering towards the season being restarted in some way. I don't know if anyone's heard, but basically the latest I'm hearing is that talks are ongoing. They're trying to figure out some way to restart the season, and the latest idea being floated that's out there is a 24-team playoffs. With 12 teams from each conference. I don't think I have to say that the reasoning behind this is the almighty dollar, moolah, yen, you know, greenbacks, whatever you want to call it. Because unfortunately, whether you want to face up to it or not, no matter what happens, the NHL stands to lose a lot of money because of what's happened. And if you have, I think the idea, for better or for worse, to include more playoff teams is to involve bigger markets such as Montreal and Chicago that are teetering on the brink. And would not make the playoff in a regular 16-team format, and invite them to not only help boost attendance, well, not attendance.
Yeah, there's not going to be attendance, but, I mean, are they still talking about having neutral site games?
No, that idea has been scrapped as far as I know.
Okay, but that then begs the issue with Montreal team, because Prime Minister has said that anybody that comes into the country has to quarantine for 14 days. How are they going to make that work?
Good question. And off the top of my head, the answer to that would be none of the Canadian cities are going to be the host rinks, as it were, I would think, because of that. Prime Minister up there, he can do whatever he wants. But I don't think the league is going to go along, unfortunately, with a 14-day quarantine, that because it's going to add 2 weeks to, you know, something that they're already putting behind. They already can't figure out what to do with the damn draft. You know, throwing out 2 weeks is not going to help the situation either way. So I think that pretty much disqualifies any of the Canadian cities from being the host cities.
So they're saying how many teams per conference?
12.
So how are they going to, are they talking about compressing the games where they're doing 2 and 3 games a day?
That I'm not sure, but if it's an all-in-one site, that's, you know, if all the games are going to take place all in one rink, that's probably what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to have much choice. Is to play several games a day. Otherwise, it's going to take forever with 24 teams. No, I don't think they have much choice. Go ahead.
Are they talking about taking after 68 games? Is that what most teams had played? The top 12 or top 12 from each from the 68 games, or just as the season ended?
I don't think there's plan. I'm not hearing anything that says there's plans to finish the season. So I think 68 is probably the plan. 68 games will be the cutoff. And then anything as far as points earned after a team's 68th game is not going to count.
Null and void.
Right. I forget who it was, but I think I actually heard this on the Puck podcast, but you could have made the case for a point percentage. Which would have affected some of the wild card standings teams. What you do is you take all of the games and multiply them by two for possible points, and then divide the earned points by those, and that gets your point percentage. And then that way you can rank the teams no matter what, no matter how many games they all played, and make it more fair. But you know, like I said, I think the Eastern Conference, that would have only changed them. I think it would have been the Islanders that snuck in, and whoever, I think it's the Blue Jackets, they would have flip-flopped because of that. But I don't think they're going to do that. The word I'm hearing is that it's the 68-game cutoff, and they're going to end the regular season right there. And, of course, you got to have a 1 to 2 week training camp, get everybody back in shape.
Right, which we still haven't heard anything about when they're going to start that up. At this point, it's going to be October before they start playing.
So what I'm hearing, and it's from a fairly reliable source, it's Pierre LeBrun, one of the NHL's respective beat writers. The NHL's Board of Governors has a conference call scheduled for 3 p.m. this coming Monday. Nothing is concrete, but like I said, the scuttlebutt is the 2014 playoff format, and most likely no continuation of the regular season. And you just have, I'm guessing, what would amount to a short training camp, get the players back in shape, and then start the playoffs with the top 12 teams in each conference. That's probably it makes the most sense if that's the road they're going to take. Now, I'll finish this part of the discussion. You can add your opinion if you like, but I'll finish this part of the discussion. One of the things we talked about on the show video chat was that all seven or eight of us were all in agreement that at this point, because it's been so long, there's really no point in even going through it. Now, I know that's a little bit different from what I've said, but the reason I agreed with that sentiment is because, look, there's going to be a big fat ass to risk on whoever wins the cup, however they decide to award it, even if they decide to go through it, especially if it deviates from the normal. It's bad enough if you win it in a lockout shortened year. But this kind of a thing, there's going to be such a stigma. And I don't know, even if the Caps were to win it again, I don't really know if that kind of a thing should stick with a team. Oh, you want it the year of coronavirus, but never again. Now, I don't know if I want something like that. I don't know if I want the team to be associated like that. I mean, I'll watch it, I'll enjoy it as much as I can, but that's my problem with it, is that it's just too far of a deviation from the norm. I understand that we don't live in normal times anymore and things are going to change and all that. But between that and the potential risk to the players and their families, it's just no longer worth it to me, at least at this point. And the
right. Well, I mean, you have to also consider that you're talking. We've been out of hockey for 2 months.
Right.
It's been 2 months already. Even the quickest they can move and get things started, that's 3 months before we're going to see hockey again. The normal season, I mean, you figure the normal season is over early April, first week of April, and we're coming back to training camps in September. And hang on for my reasoning here a second. At this point, by the time we get back to hockey, if they get everything in play and they do this, it's going to be September. Even with they're not going to give the players the time to rest. They need to go ahead and say, okay, we're going to call it. This is what it's going to be. No Stanley Cup this year, and we'll say why. Give the players the time and give science the time to find out what they can do about the coronavirus so that we don't have these kind of situations affect us as badly in the future. Because right. You see how badly the flu hits the team. You figure they're in close quarters, they're skating together 2 and 3 times a day. When they're on the field, when they're on the road, they are on the bus, on the plane, whatever. That's too close to contact to prevent any kind of spread. So they need to let science have the time they need to come up with a better solution for maybe not necessarily give them time for a vaccine, but to figure out better ways to slow the spread so that they can be in these close quarter environments like they are.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. But the point I was going to make was that, I don't think they're going to start the next season in September. They're probably going to delay it. They're talking about the actual start of the season being more like late November to December.
Which means we have a shortened season again next season.
Well, I heard something that I think we can all applaud, and that's the idea of scrapping the All-Star game for next year. I don't think anybody's going to miss that. So that'll buy 1 week. Speaking of buy, let's say bye-bye to the bye week. Let's get rid of that thing.
But you figure even then with the bye week and the All-Star break, that's still only 2 weeks. So you figure maybe 6 games that they're going to get. That's still going to leave the season short.
Right. No. And they want to avoid that as much as possible because, like it or not, everybody's going to take a hit with less games because everybody gets played per game, money-wise. You know, you don't collect revenue in the arenas. You don't collect revenue for television airings. You know, players' paychecks.
Well, right now the arenas aren't going to be collecting revenue anyway because they're not going to be allowed to have people in them.
Right. So. That's why they're taking so long in figuring this out. But I just not sure. I don't know.
I don't think the way to go is to push it, try to make a decision now, because this isn't an outdoor sport. Unless they're going to figure out how to play all the rest of the games outdoors in July, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Being enclosed is just going to make it that much more dangerous for the players and that much more risky for the players and the coaches and the staff and the refs and everybody else and anybody broadcasting. It's just going to make it that much more risky for them, where if it was something and this happened in December, we could say, oh, yeah, we can have outdoor games. No big deal. That lessens the risk. Right now, it's too risky, I still think.
Well, okay, so that kind of brings us, and we're going to wind it up here, but that kind of brings us to the elephant in the room, and the question nobody wants to ask, but I think we need to have answered, or at least start talking about, and that's, so given all of what you just said with regard to the risk, is it going to take finally having a vaccine before we can start going down some sort of path to bringing things back?
No, I don't think it has to come to a vaccine. I think that this is just so new to us. The fact that they're finding that there are super carriers that display no symptoms, and you can't tell that these people are sick. There's just still too much. I think they need to have the antibody test and be able to start doing that and put that into place more once they determine whether or not the antibodies mean you're immune. I don't think it has to come to a point where nobody can play unless they have the vaccine. I don't think that's not going to be reasonable to expect, because it could be years before we have a viable vaccine. Regardless of what is being said, a vaccine is not something you're going to crank out in 3 months.
Right. And that's very true. But some people, the reason I ask that is because some people are already saying, well, I'm not going to do anything that involves any sort of a large crowd until there is a vaccine. So that, of course, is going to include indoor or outdoor sporting events.
Right. Well, I mean, that is for those particular people to make that their own decision. I think once we have a better grasp on how it is transmitted and what kind of things we can do to reduce transmission, personally, myself, I know I've made a decision that it will probably be October or November before I feel comfortable not wearing a mask outside. Just because we don't know. With my underlying health conditions, I'm not willing to take the chance.
I may be
one of those people that you see in China all the time wearing the face mask every time they go out. That might be me for a while. But is that going to keep me from going out to the mall once the mall's reopened? It might deter me a little bit, but no, if I need something, I'm going to go get it. I mean, even with everything going on in place now, I take what steps I can to protect myself and go from there. And I think that's what's going to have to be done on an individual level and on a team level. The team is going to have to do what they can to protect the team and go from there.
Yeah, true enough. And I think the best way to go about that is for all of the teams to take their cue from anyone in the field of, you know, communicable diseases and how they're transmitted. Take their cue from any experts they can in that field and follow whatever guidelines they recommend as far as cleaning. Now, you mentioned the planes. And the method of travel, probably the most vulnerable place I can think of is a locker room,
right?
Especially. So, you know, you got to wonder, you know, what sort of standards they would have for that. I would hope they would have any anyway. But a whole lot to consider. Too much to talk about here, though. So we're going to wind that part up here. So you
have some big news to announce, don't you?
That I do, but before I am going to get to that, you had a very large part in that, and that's of course the masks.
So I get to go first.
That have been made. Yes, you do get to go first, but not before I introduce you.
You already introduced me.
As far as this subject, dear.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, again, a lot of you out there are the beneficiaries of, some fancy handiwork by my wonderful and talented wife. I'm not really sure how this got started except for one day, she reminded me, that I didn't have a mask and that she did have sewing skills and cranked a couple out for me, which I've been wearing ever since. And that's pretty much how it got started. And I posted a picture of it. And some of you listeners out there saw it and said, hey, where can I get one? I said, don't ask me. I didn't make it. I have, I'm maybe a plus one at sewing. I'm a plus 10 at talking, but a plus one at sewing, maybe. This is the person you want to talk to. So, yes, you go first. Floor is yours.
Okay. Hi, guys. So just to let you know, I do have available materials. I can make 15 more of the cap masks if anybody's interested. Right now, they're going for $3 a piece plus shipping, which is usually about $1 a mask. And like I said, I do have materials to make 15 of the cap masks. If anybody's interested in any other materials, I do have a selection. I can take pictures and post if anybody's interested. But it gives me something to do when I get a little bit of downtime from work. And it's just something I can do to help somebody else out. And I'm more than happy to do it. I'm not looking to make a whole lot off of this. I'm just trying to cover my expenses, which is why I was able to keep the prices so low. But like I said, if anybody's interested, you can post on the group page and I will see it and we'll get in contact with you and let you know what we've got available.
Totally awesome. And that's why, well, that's one of about a gajillion reasons why I married you.
Now, don't make me blush.
Not only your resourcefulness, but among other things. Okay, so if everybody's done gagging now. okay, so probably the moment nobody's been waiting for, as I mentioned on the show page, and this was actually the brainchild of the person you just heard.
Yeah, he was bored on Mother's Day, so I put him to work.
I handmade, mostly, myself, a couple of these masks and personally signed them. It was decided that we would auction them off, but I kind of felt a little funny about benefiting directly.
You wanted to pay it forward.
Yeah. So I decided let's go ahead and make this for charity. So we put them up for bids. And figured this was a great show, great way to get the show out there, maybe get some cash flow going for some much needed equipment. But then I decided, all right, let's pay it forward, have it done for local charity or some sort of worthy charity. And the bidding was completed as of last night. And so, drum roll, please.
I can't do a drum roll, sorry.
I will insert one. The winner of the bid for Blue Liner Made Masks. You like that? I just came up with it.
That works.
So supportive. Is our worthy and respected and one of our most loyal and true listeners, Mr. Eric Hayes. Eric, as you may know, is one of our most loyal listeners. He has a shipping route. He owns his own trucking and shipping company route. Goes literally all over the place, especially in the Northeast, but all over the highways and byways of this great nation of ours. The charity, I decided to let the winner pick the charity. The charity he has indicated his wish to go to is the St. Christopher Truckers Relief Fund.
Very cool.
Yep. I think it's very important to recognize what these men and women do. because we tend to forget about, you know, what goes on to keep things going. Now, it's not any knock on the frontline healthcare workers, all of the people, grocery store, you know, restaurant people such as yourself, of course.
Well, hang on a second. If it isn't for these truck drivers, guess what? The grocery stores don't have groceries. I don't have food to sell. The first responders at the hospitals don't have what they need. So truck drivers are essential employees as well.
Oh, most certainly they are. And like you always do, you've pretty much beat me to the punch. You must be taking lessons from Anna.
But you were taking too long.
Once again, so supportive. But think about it. All of the things you have in your home, at your job, or in a supermarket or in a hospital, it all got there because somebody put in a 10 plus hour day or more and hauled it there by truck because somebody put in the time to get it there. They drove on the roads of America, sometimes in dangerous and unfavorable conditions, to get the job done.
Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Yeah, for example. So I'm just saying this because the next time you see an 18-wheeler or some kind of delivery truck on the road, make room for it, or better yet, you know, give a kind wave or even a hearty honk and let them know you really appreciate what they do for us, because they really are what makes us go. And I could not be prouder that Eric stepped up and decided to donate and you know, make the truckers' voices heard. So I am deciding to match his winning bid dollar for dollar, and I'm going to match that amount to the St. Christopher Truckers Relief Fund. And so that total will go into that. I will donate all of that in his name.
Excellent.
And it's a modest amount. The winning bid was $50 for both masks. I couldn't be prouder. And like I said, the truckers are what makes us go. So it's going to be a total of $100 for the donation. Eric, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for getting the word out there. Thank you so much. And I'm proud of you for what you do for everybody and what you do. And I know there's been times where, you know, things haven't been great for you. I'm not going to go into detail, but Eric hasn't had the best of times lately. Things have been tough for him, and as they've been for us all, but especially tough on him, you know, as far as things that have happened that were out of his control. But he's kept on going like a true spirit, and you know, he's stepping up for the show. I can't say enough, and I know I'm gushing here, but thank you so much, Mr. Hayes. You are absolutely awesome for doing this. And it's cliche, but you know, keep on trucking, dude. I just, you know, you are an example of what everybody is supposed to be. All right, so we've come to an end of another episode.
I thought we were keeping this one short.
I know. Well, we ran over. We had one of our long-winded discussions about something, and it wasn't the budget or what to have for dinner.
No, it wasn't about what to have for dinner. We already discussed that one.
Yeah, so we figured that out for once. Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
It's all right.
Well, okay. So I'm not sure what we're going to do next week for a show, if anything. Still trying to figure that out. Hopefully we'll have news as far as a restart. But yeah, it's going to depend on, like I said, the press conference that they plan on having Monday. So everybody keep their ears out for that. Everybody stay on the Facebook page for announcements about future mask orders and things like that also as well. So thanks all again for those who have ordered, and thanks to everybody.
Yes, thank you.
And my wonderful wife will try to crank out more as we go. All right, so going to wind up the show here. So this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off for my wife, Jenny. And reminding you that I recently received a book with Do Not Read Until the Year 2030 written on the cover. But that's another story for another time.
We need to get you some new dad jokes.
You going to buy some for me?
We're going to do something.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps!
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.